5 a.m., I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius, live, fit, go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Wow. Yeah, these Mondays are coming at you fast, man. I feel like these weeks are just flying by. We're mid-September. We're in Canelo fight week. We're in the nitty-gritty of fight season. So,
Took a little respite. Like that word?
Yeah, we had a little reprieve there in end of August, but it's turned up once again.
It is turned up full throttle. Like a Vegas fight week with Canelo is full throttle. There's going to be some UFC action. I don't care about UFC so much, but there will be a lot of MMA fans out for the Sphere. I expect Ubers to be pricey. I expect reservations to be harder to get. Not for us. Not for us. We'll be at Barry's Prime on Thursday night, I believe it is. We'll have our live show on Thursday. Here's the plan for everyone out there. Thursday, I'm getting there Tuesday night, which is the earliest I've ever arrived in Las Vegas, for those of you keeping track at home. Tuesday, I've never been to Vegas on a Tuesday. Land Tuesday night. Wednesday, we hit the ground running content with Canelo that you'll be seeing and all the fighters that you'll be seeing on social media. Thursday, Chris arrives, and then we have our live show. I'm excited about this. Live from Radio Row with guests. We're going to have guests being brought to us. I think we have Leonard Ellerby on the docket so far. Some fighters who you never know who's going to pop in. Want to do that sometime around in the afternoon on Thursday. Thursday night, we go to Barry's Prime. We eat like kings with the PPV crew. Friday, another live show following the weigh-in, where Chris likes to do his best work is by sizing up these guys, seeing the last couple things, giving you some final picks and betting odds and predictions and all that fun stuff. And then Saturday, live interactive chat from T-Mobile Arena. I announced this yesterday, Chris. I know you're not a big Twitter guy. I announced it on Twitter. That will be on the broadcast. The DraftKings partnered up with DraftKings.
All right. Let's go.
It's not just you, Chris. I got to keep up with you, man. You're over on ESPN. I'll be on Prime and PPV.com giving my picks, which is it's one thing to send them out into the ether on Twitter. I'm going to be giving my picks live on the broadcast right before the fight, which is very, very – I think I have to step up my game now and make sure these picks hit.
Hopefully you're in an upswing right now. Oh, yeah. And you're on a heater rather than a slump, because now you're on display.
Can you believe that? I think they made a mistake. I'm like, you guys really want me? You're talking about me, right? This Dan, like, no.
don't let the imposter syndrome creep in. No, own it. Go out there and show up. Do your thing, man.
Yeah, man. I can't wait. So it's gonna be a hell of a week, and we'll have you covered. PPV.com on social media, Inside Boxing Live, Chris's Instagram, mine. You know, Hinge, Bumble, you name it. We're on those apps.
I'm not on those apps. Don't look for me on those apps. If you find me on those apps, that ain't
imposter
me.
Imposter syndrome.
That's an actual imposter, not the syndrome. That ain't me. I've never been on a dating app ever in my life.
Oh, great. And he never will be, folks.
Never will be.
Unfortunately, about to delete them because they are just trash.
Trash.
Let's get into
trash.
Better apps. Let's get into PPV.com apps. Let's get into pay-per-view apps. Let's get into one of the bigger stories that dropped over the last 2 weeks, because there aren't a lot of fights to talk about. So we're talking about the business of boxing. And of course, we're talking about Turki Alışık, who wants to save the sport, who wants to be the most influential face in the sport, who wants to service the fans. And how can you service the boxing fans out there? There's a lot of ways. Give us the biggest fights, which for the most part, you know, he's done. He's given us some pretty big fights. They're all on pay-per-view, which is just how the business is being run right now. It's just how the business works. Lower the pay-per-view prices, fans say. Turki says, okay, I will. Joshua versus Dubois, $20. Shakur Stevenson, Better BF B-Ball show, $14.99. The Golden Boy Show, which is supposed to be some, you know, ode to Latino night with Gilberto Ramirez headlining and a pretty decent card, like a 5-on-5 of sorts. Reportedly, it's going to be free. Turkey tweeted out, I would like to get a network involved. It's not going to be on pay-per-view. I want it free to all. So he is listening, Turkey, and he is trying his best to lower pay-per-view prices. But I'll ask you this, Chris. Will lower pay-per-view prices stop pirating? Will lower pay-per-view prices increase the amount of buys?
No, yes, in that order, respectively, to your questions. Will it stop pirating? No. Because if it costs a dollar, people will steal it. Even if it's free, people will try and steal it just because they can. That's just the way people are. But will it increase pay-per-view buys? Numbers, I do believe it will. And I think it's ultimately a good thing. You know, it's gotten to the point. The pay-per-view prices are just exorbitant. And listen, inflation is a real thing right now. People are struggling to pay their bills. I hate when boxing fans are sitting there being like, I can't afford to watch my favorite fighters. That's such a crazy thing. It blows my mind. So this is great. This is going to allow more of the fans to purchase and see their favorite fighters, see these fights. It's also going to build more stars in our sport, which I think has been severely lacking lately. One, because the fighters don't fight that often. And two, these crazy high prices. The price point to boxing has never been so high. This used to be a poor man's sport, and now it is one of the more expensive sports to be a fan of.
It is quite expensive. There are going to remain pay-per-views because just the way, like I said, how the economy of the sport works, you can use that money that you buy the pay-per-views with to pay the fighters to cover the cost. That's never been a problem, though, for Turkey. The cost is not an issue. They're putting on exorbitant events. They are losing tens of $20 million reportedly on these events, but it comes to a point where I'm sure they don't want to continue to lose money, but they can also afford to slash these prices, and it's an experiment. This is the part of Turkey Alışık heading into boxing that I really love, because I don't think this would happen in a normal time frame. Like, I don't think Eddie Hearn, out of the good of his heart, even though he doesn't set the prices, or the networks, I should say, out of the good of their hearts, are going to just drop the prices and see if it works. That's just not in their DNA. It's just not in the business model. So with Turkey, who has a lot of money to play with and seems like he can take risks, is now going to introduce this experiment. And I'm very curious to see how it turns out. Just like an experiment where I'm going to have a 5-on-5. I'm going to have Eddie Hearn work with Queensberry. And I'm going to have different platforms come together. And I'm going to have different fighters fight on different cards. That experiment, I think, has worked great because now fighters are more willing to fight each other and we're getting bigger and better fights on a more consistent basis. Now to the business side, let's see if this experiment works, because I really do think it's going to work, Chris. To answer my own question is I do think it will stop pirating to an extent. Of course, $20 is still $20. $15 is still $15. There are so many of these websites out there. There's more. It's like guns in America, not to get political. There's more guns out there. Like, you can't put them back. Like, there's so many streaming sites out there that the regulators can't go in and, like, stop them all. I know StreamEast is one of the best ones out there, got recently taken down. Like, there's a million more out there. So I don't think they're ever going to be able to stop the sites from operating. But the lower prices could give you a little more incentive, because I've heard from a lot of fans. It's like, oh, if the price was a little lower, you know, I'm more likely to get together with my buddies and pool together the money, or more likely to check it out. And that money will funnel back to the fighters, and that money will funnel back into the event. It might not be the crazy, crazy revenue that some of these promoters see and networks see, but it's still something, and it might get adjusted properly. But you see Dana White, they've asked Dana White about piracy quite often now when he does his post-fight interviews for his contender series. And he wants to prosecute pirates, people that steal it, prosecute them. He stopped a few sentences short of, you know, stone them and lynch them in front of the town. Like, I wouldn't go that far, but there should be stiffer penalties too if we really want to get on our high horse here.
Well, do we want to age ourselves here, Dan? Remember Napster?
Oh yeah.
Oh, all those music.
Metallica,
you know,
put an end to that.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, so listen, Dana is not that. It sounds crazy. He's not that off, because they were sued. there was tons of lawsuits that came out because of that, because there's intellectual property and it's a real thing. And listen, man, this is a business. I know this is an entertainment sport, but it's a business at the end of the day. And these guys are not in here to make money. They're not here to give fights for free. You know, this is, I mentioned it's a quote unquote poor man's sport. Promoters ain't poor. They've never been poor. So,
no.
You know, they're in this business to make money. They came into this business to make money. Yeah, I'm not surprised a guy like Dana White, who's losing tens of millions of dollars on people who are legally streaming. I'm going to go on the record. I've never paid for a UFC card, but I've watched a bunch. I've never purchased a UFC card. No knock on the UFC. But I've bought almost every available, you know, pay-per-view boxing card that's ever been. You know, you mentioned fight parties. That was a big deal at my house growing up. And is a big deal in my new home now. So yeah, I don't knock Dana for saying that because, you know, he's right. And there might be money coming his way down the line. Honestly,
the thing with Napster though, that was like, they were suing an entity, like they were suing a corporation. They were suing one thing. Dana's looking for perfect, like, yeah, there's some of these sites, but like, he's looking for like individuals. Like he's looking to knock on your door. Like Dana White's to knock on your door. You got that pay-per-view? Did you pay for that? No.
Yeah, well, how about with me, pal? Okay. Well, how about we prosecute the guys who are stealing Instagram pages and Twitter accounts? Because, you know, those are individual people too, but it's so difficult to track any of these people down. You're going to go after like some high school kid who's, you know, can't afford the fights anyway and is just streaming them because
you go after the site, what's actually,
you know, handling the server that's doing that. It's the only way to do it.
But like, I understand like the fans, they have fatigue and like you said, Chris, like inflation's real, like times are tough. I understand that. And a lot of the time they're just like, oh my God, I can't believe I have to buy another pay-per-view. I can't believe I have to buy another thing. And then they're like, I'm going to go and steal. They don't feel bad. Like
I'm sure you remember this too. Well, maybe not. You're Mr. Copy Box growing up, but like,
oh, stop.
We used to save up for pay-per-views in high school.
Yes.
Saving up.
Bob didn't hand me anything. Bob was like, hey, you want to watch this WWF pay-per-view? That was big for me. Like, I want to order Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. Well, you better get like all your grades or like you, I'm not paying $70 to watch you, a bunch of these guys in spandex.
Yeah. Play make-believe.
We used to pool it together. We used to.
Fight parties. You had to come in. There was a jar. You put the money in the jar. Boom. Put the money in the jar. Because we were watching fights before we could drink. So there was, it wasn't like you were coming over bringing booze. You know, you were coming over to watch a fight.
Nowadays, it's Chris orders.
Now it's like,
and then bring,
I don't need cash, guys. Bring me bottles of liquor. Bring me booze. Bring me food. Bring me hot Italian sandwiches. Bring me a ribeye. You're welcome.
Lastly on this, the fans are, I feel a little bit of fatigue and they look at the promoter, they look at the network as being greedy, but oftentimes they don't think about the fighter. You're an ex-fighter, always will be, ex-fighter, active, fighter, or not inactive fighter, I should say.
Let me start. Inactive. I don't get paid to fight anymore. I'll put it that way.
Yes. You're a retired former champion, Chris.
Yes.
You were someone that fought on pay-per-view. That is how you got paid.
Yes.
So how do you feel about people stealing pay-per-views?
Oh, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. Not only does it irk me because it's taking money out of the fighters' pockets, you're hurting the sport on the whole, man. Like, and that's why I've been adamant. I've said it on our air. So like, I don't stream boxing. I've never streamed a boxing show. I watch them. I pay for them. And if I don't pay for them, you know, I miss them. I don't get to watch them live. That's just how the cookie crumbles. If you don't want to pay to play, you don't get to play. So, I was never a stealing fight cards streamer. Even when I was younger, you know, we paid for them. I mean, it wasn't really an option back then, but I understood how economics works and fighters, you know, are putting their lives on the line to fight. And this is how they get paid. It actually used to irk me when people used to ask for free tickets to my fights. I'm like, you know, that's how I get paid, right? Like, I understand, like, I have some comps, but like, it's for my family. I don't know you that well. You think you're going to just get a free ticket, a free ride to watch me fight? Well, then no, you don't have to watch me fight then, because literally this is how I get paid. So it's the same token as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. It's an interesting thing we're going to keep an eye on. I'm really excited to see Joshua Dubois from a number of standpoints. You can order it on PPV.com for $20 here in the U.S. Great fight. And it's at Wembley, and they extended the – or they opened up the capacity to be over 100,000.
It's crazy.
Heavyweight title on the line, $20 on PPV.com. That's a pretty
That's a deal.
That's a deal. That's great. That's great for boxing fans. Now, this Better BF B-ball setup is so strange, and it's very complicated, and I just wanted to explain it really quick. So on October 12th, you're going to be able to order – the Better BF B-Vol card, which features some really good fights, headlined by Better BF B-Vol, co-main event Shakur versus Cordina. That's worldwide. You can do that on PPV.com and DAZN. Now, in the U.S., at the end of Shakur Cordina, in the U.S. only, you're going to have to switch over to ESPN Plus, which, if you have that subscription, you pay your subscription, it's whatever, I don't know how much it is, but it's less than a pay-per-view. That's where you're going to be able to see Better BF B-Vol. You're not gonna be able to see Better BF B-Vol on the DAZN pay-per-view. That's one of the craziest setups ever, and my understanding is that Top Rank and ESPN were adamant on Better BF B-Vol not being on pay-per-view. They were adamant on it being on regular, quote-unquote regular ESPN, which is ESPN Plus as well. So there's a lot of moving parts here. So it's, I've never done this before where I'm watching a fight, I turn it off, the co-main event, and I switch to a different platform to get the main event. Very strange. Times we're living in. People that have ESPN Plus, you're getting B-Vol, Better BF B-Vol. Best fight of the year, I think, on paper, on ESPN Plus is a win.
It's not easy to be a boxing fan, is it, Dan?
It's just like...
They don't make it easy for us.
The confusion is alone. It's just absurd.
It's not pragmatic. It doesn't make sense. It's making things more difficult than are necessary. But I understand what these legacy promotions and networks are doing. They're, you know, they're drawing a line in the sand. Like, well, we can't give this up, because they understand once you give it up, it's gone. So they're fighting tooth and nail for to keep this as long as it's going. There's going to be a shift, and you and I have been talking about this for the last 18 months to 2 years. We're in a weird phase. We're in a transition phase where pay-per-view model is kind of antiquated. We're not really sure what's going to come next. So I think you're seeing kind of the old guard here trying to fight for every last inch of what used to be. But we got to figure something else out. I don't know what the answer is. You know, I don't think anyone really does.
I think what we see next is lower prices. Like, that's the beginning.
This is an idea, right? This is a theory. This is a theory that's being actively tested in real time, which is cool to watch. We're seeing a lot of real-time changes, you know, with premium movie channels, which used to be the major hosts for boxing, gone. Showtime and HBO are dinosaurs at this point, which is wild that we've actually lived through that. And now we're seeing this, where the pay-per-view model just doesn't seem to work because of all the active pirating. And now dropping prices. Is this going to work? We don't know. I think it will. I think it will, at least for a little while. But there is a major tectonic shift that seems to be occurring with how boxing and everything is disseminated at this point.
And we talked about previously, like, about all the cooks in the kitchen and all, like, you know, this turkey bringing together different promoters, bringing together different networks. This is like kind of the ramifications of it, mm-hmm. is that Better BF and B-Vol was, I think, it's a Top Rank fight. Or Better BF is with Top Rank.
So Top Better Rank BF, has, yes.
Yeah, so Top Rank has a piece of this main event. And they want it to be on ESPN. The remaining portion of the card is the match room, is with Turkey, is with, I'm sure, some other promoters as well, which has Shakur and Cordina, which has some other big fights on it as well. It's slipping my mind. It's a good card, but it's an overseas card. It's a lot of UK fighters with a American in Shakur in the quote-unquote main event of the DAZN pay-per-view. So that's what you're going to get. You know, you want more, you want Turkey involved, you want more, the biggest fights being made, you're going to have to kind of deal with it. Not the hardest thing to do to switch over to ESPN Plus, but it's just a minor inconvenience, just a janky.
But there's going to be a percentage of people you lose on that. I don't know how small that number is, but there's going to be percentage points that you lose. And that's unfortunate.
People. Yeah. I'm going to have to do my best, and like anyone with a platform has to remind people, like,
just going to say, I think all of us, we need to do that.
Yeah. Get on your Instagram, Chris, and start putting out stories. Everyone,
Hey, again, on live real quick. Yo, we got a live in 5 minutes, basically just to remind you to switch over. That's actually not a bad idea.
Well, you need to run into the streets and just stop everyone. So you know that Better BFB Balls on regular ESPN.
I don't think the people on my block care, to be perfectly honest.
I'm sure they want to come to your fight parties, though.
They hear the late night or late afternoon when we're watching these Riyadh season cards. They hear the joy that's coming from my house.
There's your neighbor like kind of peeking over the I'm gonna outdate myself again, like Wilson from
Wilson from Home Improvement.
I can see your neighbor peeking over like, look at all that steak.
Wow, oh, man, smelling all that
watching
meat.
Fights. And honey, can I go over there? No.
Dudes are smoking cigars. All the women are inside, like, hanging out, talking trash about us, as usual.
Beautiful.
That's how I grew up. So when I grew up, you know, with my Argentinian grandfather, all the men were by the grill and all the women were inside. It was like segregation. It was very, very old school.
Like a high school dance.
Things haven't changed in my house. The women are inside. Yeah, it's too hot outside. You guys are smoking cigars. It's too smoky.
In front of the grill. Too,
yeah, living by the grill, just smelling of charred meat for days.
Dude, so I was in Orlando this past weekend for MVP Prospects, which was an awesome card. Worked alongside Nonito Donaire and my man Wade Plem.
They both rock, especially Nonito. Nonito's the man.
Nonito's so cool, bro. That guy is so much fun to hang out with. Like obviously, I love calling the fights, but what I really love is like hanging out with the crew and hanging out with Nonito, like the night before by the pool and just telling stories and just I was asking him literally everything. I was like a fan. I was literally asking him, like, yeah, what's the most money you ever made for a fight? Yeah, what's the hardest fight you ever had? Like, tell me some stories. And he's willing. But I was in Florida, man. Orlando, I love Orlando, but it was some of the hottest and like nastiest humidity I've ever encountered. Like, it hit me in the face right when I go off the plane.
Yeah, this time of year is rough. This is the end of like the brutal summer, just oppressive heat. And that's the thing, it's like any one day is hot, fine, I can deal with that, but it's every day and it's nonstop. It's just constantly beating you down. It's like we're in round 12 now of a grueling fight. We're in round 15 of Florida summer right now. So and Orlando is especially muggy because it's far from the water and it's swampy, so it's just like ugh. Yeah, I'm not jealous of being in Orlando.
Pretty much have a residence in Orlando. Yeah. And there's another fight headed to Orlando, Chris. Tim Zhu versus Bakram Murtazalayev. This is an IBF 154 title fight, October 19th, from the Carib Royale in Orlando. It's a title fight for Zhu. He will be going up against Bakram, who has the IBF title. He took that off of Jack Kolke last year. Now, the significance of this is a lot of different things. Like the IBF title on the line in a really hot division is great. And it's also on Amazon Prime Video, regular Prime. We're talking a lot about pay-per-views on this episode. Prime Video. So we were promised as fans that PBC and would be putting a lot of some fight cards on regular Prime for Prime subscribers. Well, here's the first one, and it's a good one. Tim Zhu back into the ring for the first time since that really tough, bloody Sebastian Fundura loss. Murtazalayev gets a really good payday here, and he's a very live dog. Should Tim Zhu win, I think this just sets things up perfectly for him. It sets things up perfectly for the division. He's one of the top guys at 154. Now, he'll have a belt. He'll join he'll join Crawford and Fundora, who are also belt holders. It's all working out very nicely at 154.
Yeah, I'm happy that Tim is coming back, and he's coming back right into a major fight, right into a title fight. That being said, it's not an easy fight. All these guys at 54 are young and talented and are just like, there's no superstar other than Crawford, obviously, but like all the other guys, all the young guys in the division are really, really talented. And we don't know who's going to take over. And I mean, who's to say it's not Murtazalayev. Murtazalayev, excuse me, Bakram. I am sorry. Who's to say he's not? Because he's good. He's really good. He knocked out Jack Kolke. Kolke is super tough. I know he's long in the tooth at this point, but he gave everybody trouble. He's been in with so many top guys. Jack Kolke was one of those guys. I remember when he would come up against for opponents, like even people in the gym. Like I was in the gym with Sergey when he got that fight with Kolke, and I was just like, that's a tough guy to get your shot. with. But yeah, I mean, and for him to stop him, that's super impressive. So yeah, who's to say it's not a guy like him. If he knocks off Zou, he's right in the mix now, because Zou, highly touted, obviously very disputed that last decision, but you know, coming off a loss, he's got the namesake. 54 is one of the hottest, most interesting divisions, but also with no clear definitive endpoint. You know, we don't know who's going to own that division at all. I mean, any that's a good actually betting line. Who's going to be last man standing at 54?
Well, it's kind of been like this for like 10 years at 154.
Yeah, but it wasn't this talented. It wasn't this talented.
I had these debates on the show years ago about 154. Would you rather have a division that has one ruler like Canelo, or would you rather have a division that has parity where the titles change hands? You never know who's going to win. It has like a top five-ish to seven. And that was the case with like Jared Hurd, Julian Williams, Jason Rosario, Jermell Charlo eventually became the ruler of that division. He became undisputed. Then he fought Canelo, and then the belts all dispersed. And now we have this second iteration of 154 that has Crawford and Spence as the elders.
The literally
old guard. And you got Fundora, who is super exciting and can win any fight at any time. You got Murtaz Aliyev, who is an unknown but really tough. You got Tim Zou. You got guys coming up from 147, maybe Jerome Poutsenis. You got Charles Conwell, probably leaving a lot of guys out at 154. It's a very, very fun division. And what we do need is some clarity. What we do need is more of these belts being consolidated and more of these belts being unified. So should Tim Zou win, he'll be a favorite in this fight. Not only is it a household name, quote unquote, in the boxing world, he's a worthy champion. He's a former champion, and then hopefully he can get some unification bouts. But it's a mess, Chris. It's a mess in terms of like what fighter is with what network, what fighter is working with who. You know, Tim Zou is supposedly turned down working with Turkey. I don't know how much I believe that, because I don't think anyone should just close a door on anybody. Then you have Fundora's whole situation. Is he going to fight Spence or is he going to fight Crawford? Then you have Crawford, who is now a champion with the WBA, who, if you hear from Eddie Hearn, and something that we've talked about on the show, is like Eddie Hearn would not be shocked if Crawford never fights again if he doesn't get Canelo. So what does this mean for the division? Who's the young – Virgil Ortiz, another name too. Like, give it to the young guys. If Crawford is Canelo or bust, let's get these young guys in like some type of tournament, which will never happen, but a de facto tournament.
That would be awesome, but like you said, there's so many moving parts. And you mentioned the old guard, like Crawford and Spence. How much longer are they really going to be around? Like, I wouldn't even put them in last man standing. Yeah, wow. I wouldn't even put them in the last man standing situation. And I agree with Eddie, and I said it long before Eddie. I don't think Crawford fights unless he gets the Canelo fight. There's that. So he's a guy. He's funny. I look at him as like a super champion. Like, I don't even look at him as part of that. You know, ranking. Yeah, he's the best guy at 154, but also I could very easily see him fighting at 160 or 68 to get Canelo, or, you know, 60 to fight Chris Eubank. You know, he's transcended. He's transcended 54.
He's waiting for offers. He's waiting for envelopes. Yep. He's,
as he should,
waiting for opportunities that don't come to anyone else, as he should. You're right. Don't think he's, you know, rushing and raring to get in there with Zou or Fundora or Virgil Ortiz. Spence, maybe. I doubt it. That doesn't really have the same cachet. No. Crawford, for sure. I mean, Canelo, for sure. Go up another weight class might motivate him. But I think it's Canelo or bust. And we're going to see what happens with Canelo this weekend, and then see where Crawford goes. Because, like we talked about last week, there's an order from the WBO for Fundora and Crawford to unify. And according to Samson Lukowicz, who represents Fundora, he does not expect to hear a single peep from Crawford until at least September 15th, which is the day after the Canelo fight.
Which he's 100% right. Samson's very, very smart. And why would you hear anything before that?
That guy has seen it all. Yeah. Discovered Manny Pacquiao.
He's smart, and he doesn't mince his words, is Samson.
He's a real boxing guy.
Yeah, yeah. He knows what he's looking at. He's a guy who, like, he, like, combs South America and comes with these guys that come out of nowhere, and you're like, he just finds banana peels. Like even if it's an opponent, like, it's just like, oh no, Samson's in the corner, here we go. I've seen it so many times.
Yeah, I mean, that
even on undercards, I've seen him in corners with guys, and I'm like, ugh, here we go. This is gonna be an upset alert.
He's got some of the bigger discoveries: Pacquiao, Sergio Martinez. I don't know if he discovered David Benavidez, but he's working with David Benavidez, and yeah, he works with a lot of big fighters now. So that's the latest 154. Should be a fun one, October 19th on Prime Video.
I wonder if I'm working that weekend anywhere else. Man, I should take that ride. That's a good fight. I really like Tim Zhu. I'm a big fan. I like his style.
There's a lot of Australians there, and I think it's going to be a fun one. And I think it's a fun resort. I've been there.
Do we have Australian listeners? Do we have Australian? Guys, if you are, get in our page, get in our messages, get in our voicemails. We want to hear from our friends from down under.
I know one for sure, Kat Mercer. She is a huge fan of ours, and she's listening for sure. And we'll get some more in there. I'm sure if you're listening,
Australians are great fight fans. So
let us know if you're making that trip over to Orlando. And I promise there's a lot more to offer in Florida than just Orlando. So maybe come for a following week.
Australians all think that Florida is only Miami. So you guys are going to have to come to Miami as well. So go to Orlando, but also set aside some time while you're on your holiday to go to Miami. Because listen, Australians are coming from very far away. They're not going to come for a fight. They're going to come for a month.
A month, even better. Yeah. Another fight that's being rumored is for a Prime Video in Minnesota, December 21st. David Morrell coming back at 175. This is reported by, I believe, Lance Pugmire, our colleague at PPV.com.
I like how he's staying busy. Smart move.
Who, Morrell?
Yes.
Yeah, Morrell and Benavidez are on a crash course, and they're just staying busy, and they're
smart,
you know, doing what they got to do, acclimating to the weight and figuring out 175 and all that good stuff. Okay, Chris, it is now time. We're heading to Las Vegas on this week. It is a big-time fight between Canelo and Berlanga. What it also means, it is Mexico versus Puerto Rico. Ooh. It is a big talking point of this promotion, and we thought we would put together our own, or Chris's own, I should say. This is all Chris. Top five Mexico versus Puerto Rican fights. There are so many to choose from. You had to whittle it down to five. Let's start with number five.
So hard. I'm ready.
Hit us.
Number five, Trinidad De La Hoya. Felix Trinidad versus Oscar De La Hoya. And listen, it wasn't the best fight in terms of entertainment value going back and forth, but this is my list. So I'm talking about fights that, one, I remember or touched me in a certain way. That fight, man, the buildup to that fight was insane. Dan, I know you remember it. And it was like two undefeated, super huge stars, like stars.
Didn't get any bigger, baby.
Oh, couldn't get any bigger. Like this was a lifetime event for a boxing fan. Someone in our era, this is like a lifetime event. So that one had to get in the top five. But again, it wasn't the most scintillating, action-packed fight by any means. De La Hoya completely dominated for five, six rounds and then fell off a cliff. And very highly disputed. I hated watching my favorite De La Hoya lose. But Trinidad became a star after that. He went on to 154 and he was one of the baddest 154 pounders ever. But great fight. Trinidad really grew on me later in his career as he turned out to be such an amazing fighter. Number four. This is going to be a weird one.
Let me just say one thing about that. So that fight, September 18th, 1999, which is crazy because it's so long ago.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's a fight famous for De La Hoya taking his foot off the gas, thinking he had rounds banked.
Yep.
And then him losing the fight. And then I just remember Trinidad becoming such a freaking massive star going back to Puerto Rico. I was at his first fight back in Puerto Rico as a 12-year-old. The Canobio family took a trip to San Juan, and he was treated like an absolute god, rightfully so. Mm-hmm. But also, like, from a personal standpoint, I don't know if you remember this. De La Hoya was walking back to the locker room, and he has a paper in his hand, and it's the CompuBox stats. And he goes, "I landed 100 more fucking punches." And he kept saying it over and over. And my dad was like framed that because that's like one of the times where
they used
De La Hoya's like, "I landed 100 and fucking more punches."
De La Hoya's brilliance that night when he was on, like the rounds that he won were so gorgeous. Like that was prime De La Hoya, his ability, bouncing his around, footwork, jab, his in and out, his hard jabs, his combinations, the way he was able to let those punches fly against such a brutal puncher in Trinidad was tremendous. De La Hoya also showed his chin that night. He never got hurt. He never got rocked. He got hit with big shots, especially later on. I mean, De La Hoya has a great chin, right? From beginning to end of his career, was a fantastic chin. Yeah, he went down a bunch of times, but always got up. except for Hopkins. But he, that wasn't his chin that failed him. But yeah, no, amazing fight. I've watched it so many times. And I think from a stylistic and technical standpoint, it's one of the best fights that someone could watch.
Yeah, I wonder if, I'm sure he's been asked this, if he regrets the second half. I would love to figure out what was going through his mind. I'm sure it's out there somewhere. All right, sure. Number four.
Number four is a weird one for me, or maybe for a lot of people. It's Orlando Salido versus Wama Lopez 2. So Orlando Salido, he's a weird career, man. He had a bunch of losses. His first title fight was against Wama Lopez the first time. And Wama was a beast then. Like, his record was crazy. He was blasting guys out.
Just as an aside, he was in Orlando this weekend.
Oh, nice, nice. I mean, he was, dude, at one point, I've never seen a guy fall off so fast the way Wama did, but like they were talking about him as being the next super Puerto Rican star. Because he was a monster. He was huge for the weight class. Huge for the weight class. Big power. Southpaw. Great right hook. And then Salido comes in. I think, I don't remember how many losses he had at that time. Almost double digits, I think. And just tough Mexican dude. Not the prettiest style by any means. But just stayed in his pocket. Boom. And he beat Wama up that first time. That first fight. Ended up knocking him out. Becoming world champion. Dropped him a few times. Then they got the rematch. And... you know, they're like, oh, is Wama going to be able to right the ship and be the guy that we all thought he was going to be? And he started to at one point. He drops Salido bad with a right hook, a check hook. But then Salido just gets up and beats the hell out of him for the rest of the fight. He forces Wama to fight his fight. Awesome, awesome toe-to-toe action. Defense is nowhere to be seen in the majority of the fight. Awesome, awesome fight. Salido wins again. So he's got two knockout wins over Wama. And that was his first title and first defense.
Did you know this? I'm looking up Salido. This summer, this is kind of grim. This summer, former two-time featherweight champion Leonard Soto is currently in serious condition in the hospital. Salido crashed his truck into man's house, killing a man. According to reports, Salido lost control of his Dodge Ram pickup truck, swerving off-road and crashing into a bedroom of a house. I know he was like running for some type of office. I know he has like... doesn't say. I don't know the full story here. I don't know if he was like under the influence of anything, but I know he was like running for office. I know he had a pretty wild post-fight career. Mm-hmm. Also,
he had a pretty wild fight career.
Defeated Lomachenko.
Yes, I was just going to say that. He also is the first man to beat Lomachenko.
All right. Number three.
Wait, hold on. I'm going to look up something real quick. He had 11 losses when he became world champion.
That's amazing. It's got to be some type of record.
Absolutely. 35-11 when he knocks out Wama Lopez. Oh, no, he had won that before. No, he won it before that. Sorry. Either way, he still had 11 losses.
He had a lot of losses before he became a champion.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know also about Nonito Donaire is that he lost his second pro fight.
Yeah, because these are all WBO Latino, WBO World. No, that's Wama. Yeah. Yeah, he had 11 losses before he beat Wama. Crazy.
Instance. Okay. Number four.
Number four. That was four. Number three. Wilfredo Gomez and Pintor. Jeez. I watched this fight this morning because I was like, all right, which fight am I going to put on there? Because there's Gomez and Zarate, which is an awesome, awesome fight too. Gomez is all over this thing. he was just such a freak. So fun to watch. And he is a Puerto Rican superhero. But Lupe Pintor, man, this fight was insane. Back and forth. Basically, whoever was leading was winning. Whoever was going forward was winning the fight. Whoever's back was against the ropes was getting the shit kicked out of him. And it was the whole fight. It was back and forth, just kicking the hell out of each other. And Lupe looked like the sturdier guy, but he was the one down the stretch who actually got stopped. I mean, if you want to just see toe-to-toe action back and forth in its absolute prime, this fight. It's nonstop. It's bananas how much these guys hit each other, hurt each other, and then come back. It's crazy. Same. There are times where they look tired. There are times where they look really hurt. Nope. Get right back to it. Next round, take over. Just back and forth action throughout. A sick, sick fight. Easily could be even higher. It's crazy that this fight's on a number three of any list.
It's close to number two are so freaking good.
Yeah, like that's how great this historic, you know, what do they call it? Rivalry.
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 Number two.
Trinidad Vargas This one is so near and dear to me. Obviously, Dan, I saw you smile because this is our era. And again, so Trinidad makes the list once again. And he's fighting for Fernando Vargas. So another one of my – this is the reason I hated Trinidad. He beat all my favorite fighters. He beat De La Hoya. He beat Trinidad.
Trinidad went from De La Hoya, took a return fight, and then returned – he went to 154, and then he fought Vargas.
And then he was a monster at 54. Good absolute God. Monster. He was so much better
at
54.
You make the most of your career.
Yeah. Yeah, he capitalized.
Money while it's hot. And capitalized. Then he was like under 30, around 30, maybe even younger than that.
And then he even made money in the old man tour when he fought Roy Jones at like 75. Like he still was able to like capitalize and make money. And he fought Wiki Wright. He fought Bernard Hopkins. He fought Roy Jones. But this fight in particular, I mean, legendary. The drama. First round, Vargas gets his head knocked off. Head knocked off and is concussed and hurt the entire rest of the fight. 12 rounds he's hurt. But mounts this crazy comeback. In like the third or fourth, whatever, drops Trinidad bad, hurts him. And Trinidad was always kind of chinny early on in fights. And then how does Trinidad save himself? Wicked low blows on Fernando. Gets warned. Fernando's like freaking out. He's on the ground. And then they keep going. Trinidad comes back. Vargas comes back. Vargas was just such a dog, man. I mean, the heart of a goddamn lion. And then 12th round comes, and it's like it's a fight, man. Trinidad's eye was starting to close. And, dude, he hits him with that goddamn left hook again. And Vargas goes face down. Gets up like the warrior he is, but goes down again. They stop it. 12-round stoppage, last round. But, I remember watching this fight in high school and just being like, I couldn't believe how good Vargas's head movement was when he was, like, unconscious. His eyes were literally closed, and he was, like, rolling punches and sliding innate. And slipping. Innate, exactly. Just an innate warrior, amazing fundamentals. It's just a sick fight.
Dude, he was in his early 20s for that fight. And if you go by, I watched it recently in its totality. I put it on the ESPN, the HBO broadcast. I want the full thing. I want the vignettes opening. I want the open. I want them walking in the ring. I want what they were talking about beforehand. I want to get a full feel for it. And Merchant was talking about how he doesn't really think that Vargas was ready for this, but he has no choice. And this is what warriors do. He's in his early 20s. Trinidad is the clear cut. Established guy, had been in a pro for so much longer and had been at a higher level for so much longer. But the thing with Lampley, and then the thing with Lampley said about Vargas is that he's just fearless, and that was a very, very good way to describe Fernando Vargas in his career, and especially in that fight. Fearless, getting knocked down early, so many low blows in this fight. Not that has anything to do with fearless, but just going back and forth. It got to a little bit of a dirty fight. Hilarious point in the fight.
Well, Trinidad I will go out on the record. He was a pretty dirty fighter. He elbowed a lot.
Yes.
He would push off a lot. He hit low a lot. Yeah.
And you saw that in that fight. And one of the more funnier moments from the fight, which you will never hear on TV these days, George Foreman on the call. And it's like the third low blow. And Vargas is complaining, and they're going to let him take the time, the 5 minutes, and Lampley's like, I think Vargas is going to take the time here. His promoter, Kathy Duva, is telling him to take the time. And then Foreman, out of left field, out of nowhere, goes, a woman's going to tell a man that after a low blow?
Canceled.
That would unbelievable. Like, my jaw dropped. Like, not that it's a, like, whatever. It's, you've heard that plenty of times throughout your life. But my jaw dropped because I'm just so not used to hearing that on TV. I'm not used to hearing that in commentary. From the big George Foreman. And also another thing, too, a little tidbit from this, is Larry Merchant, at the end of the fight, he has a great call. He goes, he closes the show like the champion
that he is. Yeah.
And if you live in New York and you listen to Hot 97, I think it was Mr. C, at the end of his set, would always play that drop. And I'm like, why the hell is Mr. C playing Larry Merchant? And I never really knew what fight it was from, but it came from that fight. And that's Trinidad, champion that he was. Ended the show. Ended that fight. Had to end in a knockout. It could not go to the decision.
Had to
end the knockout. It was just a classic early 2000s. You paid for that fight on HBO. You got your money's worth. Just
was it five knockdowns between the two? It was two in the first round, two in the last round, and then Trinidad got dropped in like in the mid rounds.
And then low blows and controversy.
Low blows, stop, ref stoppages.
Wild crowd.
Getting wobbled, eyes swelling. What a fight.
Awesome. Number two. Now number one. Drum roll.
And this is, I think this might be on most people's lists as number one, Salvador Sanchez, Wilfredo Gomez. I mean,
if you don't have it number one, you almost have to. Out of respect.
Out of respect of what a phenomenal fight it was. I mentioned Wilfredo Gomez, an absolute legend, Puerto Rican superstar. And I think a lot of, I mean, the current crop of fighters and fans, I'm not sure how much they really go back and look at the greats of yesteryear, but Wilfredo Gomez is a really good guy to study. Just incredible balance, great punching power, technically very, very sound, incredible left hook, good right hand, had a jab. He did everything. And just super, super solid. And Salvador Sanchez, so young. So I had a VHS tape that I borrowed from VHS. Remember those, Dan? I borrowed a VHS tape from a boxing trainer who was, he was like doing classes out of my karate dojo at the time. And this guy was a huge boxing fan. He knew he found out I was a boxing fan. So him and I would spend hours talking boxing, just like talking about old fights. And I told him all the books I read, all the library books I used to take out. And he looks at me and he's like, kid, you're like a real fan, huh? And I was like, yeah, I'm obsessed. He goes, I have a VHS tape of some fighters that you need to see. And I was like, yeah, of course. He's like, but listen, I need this thing back. He took my address down, everything. He was like, I will come
you
and find
away
you.
A VHS. You, that's like,
it's, big. You're not getting that back, man. You can't, you're not copying that thing. It's, you know, so no. And he literally was like,
how would he chase you down?
I need your home address. He's like, I'm going to come find you if I don't get this back. And I was like, no, of course I'll give it back. My God, the fights that were on this. And that was one of them. The Salvador Sanchez fight. Salvador Sanchez, Azuma Nelson was on there too, which was great. And Salvador Sanchez, one of the best Mexican fighters ever lived, who died at 23, I think, in a plane crash or something insane, or a car accident or something. But back then, guys fought, and they fought early. And, you know, he fought Azuma Nelson and Wilfredo Gomez, like, before the age of 23. How crazy is that? And I remember there was some interview somewhere, and I don't remember where I saw this, but Sanchez wasn't really known as a puncher, and Gomez was. So they were kind of making the fight as like a, you know, Gomez is the puncher, and Salvador has got to box and be smart, and Salvador Sanchez knocks him out. And he was doing an interview, and they were asking, like, where did this punching power come from? And he said, I've been doing a lot of heavy bag work.
Wow.
And I was just like, wow. I'm like, he's like, yeah, just, you know, I hit the heavy bag. You know, I was just
Could be so simple. Work on
just hitting the heavy bag a lot, you know, like, cause they're asking, what was the difference? What have you been doing differently? You've been lifting weights. Have you been doing this? He goes, no, I just a lot more heavy bag work. And I was just like, man, I'm like so old school, so raw. And if you haven't seen that fight, anyone listening, go and watch it immediately. I mean, it's an absolute war. Contrasting styles, as every Mexican Puerto Rico matchup always is. It's funny how, like, literally they have their own styles. There is a Mexican style. And it's not what everybody thinks it is. Oh, just come forward and bang. No, it's not at all. They have great technique, awesome hand position, good body punching, certain kind of body position posture that other fighters don't. And Puerto Ricans have very much their own style. It's way more offensive, usually more athletic, and but often not as good defensively. So it's a really interesting style matchup. It's one of the reasons why it's one of the greatest rivalries of all time. So if you haven't seen any of those fights, go watch them. Go watch all of them, but especially Salvador Sanchez and Wilfredo Gomez.
Great list, Chris. And we have another installment of this rivalry. They're going to be talking about it all week with Canelo and Berlanga. Will Berlanga step up to the plate? We're going to talk about this all week because we know what Canelo is going to bring. What will Berlanga bring in this fight? Young, athleticism, youthful exuberance, power. Is he going to be oblivious? Is he going to walk in there and not have any respect? You know, Munguia had a little too much respect. Well, yep. Where does Berlanga lie in all this? Intriguing, interesting. We'll be out in Las Vegas. Cannot wait. Should be a real fun one.
I would be out earlier, but I have to work Wednesday night. We got Pro Box show, Pro Box TV. Catch me
never ends.
And the man, Paulie Malignaggi, every other Wednesday.
Never got good ends. Fights. So next time you hear from us, next time you see us, we'll be in Las Vegas. Thursday and Friday, two live shows on our Inside Boxing Live YouTube. Saturday night on PPV.com. Watch me give you some live picks. We'll be in the live chat. I'm going to be in the chat while on the set because that's how I operate.
Oh, you're going to be doing both.
Yeah, why not? you know, put a device in front of me and just let me go.
Which means I'll be carrying the conversation, everyone. So carrying just,
the
you chat, know,
answering all the questions in the
all
chat.
The questions. I'll be carrying the chat.
Jim Lampley will be in the chat. Lance Pugmire will be in the chat. You at home will be in the chat joining us. So protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Send us some reservations for dinner out in Las Vegas. We're out.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.